pray.
Here we are. It's the Hour of Truth. It's Monday night and time for the Article 5 show. We bring this to you every Monday night where we talk about Article 5. Remember now, way back in Philadelphia, they had a convention of people that came together. They came together to try to fix the Articles of Confederation, which had been found during the Revolutionary War and the period shortly thereafter to be fatally flawed. When they came together, they adopted, with the blessing of 10 of the states, an all-new constitution. That constitution went on to be ratified by all 13 states, and it became the Constitution of the United States of America, with the first 10 amendments, the Bill of Rights attached from the get-go. During the long period of debate and discussion that went around forming this constitution, some discussion came up very near the end of the period about what to do to allow the people to amend the Constitution, to fix it. And there was a proposal put forth that ended up in the draft that was to be approved that suggested that if a supermajority of the Congress, both houses, proposed an amendment to the states, and then that amendment was accepted by 3/4 of the states, that amendment would become part of the Constitution, could actually change the Constitution. Well, some people, specifically a fellow named George Mason, he didn't like this because he thought almost certainly this new federal centralized government that had been created was going to become somewhat tyrannical, was going to try to consolidate power to itself. And if in doing that, the Congress, the House of Representatives, and the Senate, which were in fact part of the federal government that was amassing this power, were solely responsible for amending the Constitution, that the people would never be able to get a Constitution amended. Tonight we're going to talk about why then. And so Mason went about proposing a change to Article 5 that suggested that in addition to the Congress and the House of Representatives by supermajority proposing an amendment to the states, which then must be ratified by 3/4 of the states, that if 2/3 of the states ask the Congress for a convention, that the states would be entitled to a convention to propose amendments to the Constitution. The states could each send delegates to the convention. Those delegates would propose amendments to the Constitution. And then those amendments would go out to the states, just like any congressionally proposed amendment, and would have to be ratified before they became part of the Constitution by 3/4 of the states. That's the Article 5 we have today, and that's the Article 5 we need to talk about. Because as Mason predicted, the federal government has amassed all of its power unto itself. It has reached a point where the states are mere extensions of the federal government, really kind of like districts of the government, of the federal government, provinces of the federal government. The federal government is the central power. Now, that was never, ever the intention of the Founding Fathers. The Founding Fathers specifically intended for the federal government to work at the will of the states, to work for the states, to be run by the states, and to be subservient to the states, except in the very limited capacity spelled out in the Constitution. In other words, each state can't make treaties with foreign countries. So the federal government through the states would be supreme in that. For example, each state can't coin its own money. So the federal government, through the states, would be supreme in that. Each state can't declare war or sign treaties to end war. So the federal government, through the states, would be supreme in that. As a representative of the states, the federal government would be the central representative of the will of the states. We're going to talk about tonight, for an extended period, about what happened in 1914 that was probably the single biggest event in history that caused power to be amassed to the federal government and away from the states. We're going to talk about how the founding fathers set this government up in such a way that the states would have direct authority over what the federal government did. The states themselves would have a voice in everything that happened in the federal government, a direct voice. We're going to talk about how that changed and how we need to use the Article 5 Convention to get that back. To get back to a point where the states have a direct input and a direct veto power over everything that happens in Washington, D.C. Now, we talked to Lloyd 2 weeks ago about the state repeal amendment, and that is something that needs to continue to be looked at hard and needs to continue to be fought for. We need to be getting a hold of our legislatures. If you missed that show, I'll give you a brief summary here. The state repeal amendment is something that we would also propose at Article 5. It's something that in modified version Levin proposes in his recent book, The Liberty Amendments. And it's something that Madison thought prudent ages and ages ago. The state repeal amendment would allow, as Lloyd proposes it, and as I personally think it ought to go forward from convention to the states for ratification, says that if more than half the states, that is 26 states, that represent more than half of the population should get together and so decide that any federal law could be repealed by the states. So no federal law could take effect without the permission of the states. Any federal law that's passed, 26 states that represent over half of the population could say no go, could have veto power. Well, that's good, but there's a way that we can keep bad law from even being passed. And we're going to talk about that tonight. Now, to get to the news of the day, I read today that it appears highly unlikely at this point in time, given what the whips are saying on both sides of the aisle, that the president will get the okay from Congress to attack Syria. I think the president probably would be relieved if that happened. It would get him off the hook. He's in over his head on this thing, and he knows it. It is, though, for the president, just like everything else is for the president, and it is about him. Now, he drew this line in the sand, a foolish thing to do. He is contending that Assad crossed the line, and now he's got to save some face by doing something. That's where he stands. It's going to be interesting at the end of this week. If the Congress does not give him the authority to do this, what he does at that point. We're taking bets here tonight. We're taking your calls here tonight. We're at 347-677-1835. That's 347-677-1835. I'm going to go ahead and ramble on tonight's subject, but listen, if you have any input, if you have anything you'd like to discuss about an Article 5 convention or Article 5 to the Constitution or some specific amendments that we'd ought to propose at this Article 5 convention, if you have any input or discussion here, call it on in. We're here for weeks and weeks and weeks. We can finish our Article 7 or our 17th Amendment discussion next week or the week after. We can carry this on as long as we want to, this particular topic. And I'd be glad to postpone it for a week if you have something specific about Article 5 that you would like to discuss tonight. Give us a call. I'm using this Article 17 just as a part of the education process, just as part of getting us where we need to be, just as kind of a way to keep us ginned up and thinking positively about this Article 5 convention and how we get there. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about Amendment 17 to the United States Constitution and how it needs to be changed at an Article 5 convention.
The emergency destruct system is now activated.
No matter what time of year it is, it's never too early to start preparing for the holidays. And here at Missouri Grassroots Coalition, we're thinking of Christmas now. Why? Because we've set an ambitious goal for ourselves to raise $2,000. That's right, we want to raise $2,000 in 2013 to help some Missouri families who may be struggling in this Obama economy to provide a magical Christmas morning for their children. Last year, in 2012, Missouri Grassroots Coalition touched the lives of 15 families because of the generosity of conservatives across the state who provided us with the means to pay off their layaway accounts on Christmas Eve. This year, we'd like to be able to help twice that number of families, and we're asking you to help us with that goal. Please go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and click on the Secret Santa tab. All the details are there for you to send us what you can by PayPal, check, or money order. We want to thank all who contributed last year for their generosity and hope that you will all help us continue to prove that charitable giving works best in a constitutional republic. You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming
to you. High noon everywhere you go. And the guilt you feel.
There's a conflict in every human heart between the rational and the irrational, between good and evil. And good does not always triumph. Sometimes the dark side overcomes what Lincoln called the better angels of our nature.
Okay, we're back. It's 347-677-1835, 347-677-1835. Want to take a minute to fall back to that last promo that we did. We thank Missouri Grassroots Coalition for this time, this radio time, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday now, Friday now, Saturday, 7 to 9. Every night, different things going on. And I want to say that at Missouri Grassroots Coalition, which is a loosely based federation of all the Tea Party groups across the state of Missouri, we only collect money for one thing all year long, and that is the Secret Santa. We go out on Christmas Eve at stores throughout the state of Missouri, and we spring unpaid off layaways on Christmas Eve. Layaways that exclusively have toys in them for children. Layaways that are several payments behind and clearly are not going to be paid off by Christmas morning. And we pay them off. And we do that with the money that you donate all year long. Now, we start in February of every year collecting money for the next Christmas. And here we are down to September, and we're a little behind where we were last year. We don't ask a lot. Last year we collected a little over $2,000, and we used it to help, I think Lisa said, 13 families statewide. We have a goal of doubling that this year, both in dollars and in the number of families that we can help. And we need your help. We're a little behind. Every penny that's donated goes to this Secret Santa project. There's no overhead in this program at all. There's no advertising. The only plea that we make is the plea that we make here on the radio and on Facebook. There's no cost of dispersing the money. The money is dispersed personally by the members of the Executive Committee of Missouri Grassroots Coalition. We disperse a little bit more than we collect, just to make sure that we keep our promise to you that every penny sent in is dispersed for this cause. Look, go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. That's MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. Click on the Secret Santa button in the menu and use PayPal to send us $2 or $3 or $100 so that we can make this happen again this year. Okay, so what happened is, flashing back now to when the Constitution was written, you've got to remember what the character was of these men who got together in Philadelphia. They feared, more than anything, a strong, powerful central government. They were there from 13 different states, each with its own form of government. So there were 13 different forms of government represented at the Constitutional Convention. 13 sets of delegates jealously guarding the power that they thought belonged to their state, jealously protecting the sovereignty of their state. You need to understand that for them, being a Virginian or being a Georgian or being a New Hampshireite was their life. There was no quote-unquote U.S. federal government yet. There had been a loose confederation of the states called the Articles of formed under the Articles of Confederation, and it had failed miserably. It didn't have the power that it needed to raise enough tax even to field an army. The soldiers of the Revolutionary War were sometimes 6 months without being paid. They were marching around in bare feet in the wintertime. There was a constant conflict between the states over trade and interstate tariff, over who owned the St. James Waterway and who had the right to charge someone else to use it. all this constant bickering going on, and there was no method of rectifying these problems in the Articles of Confederation, which was really just kind of a gentleman's agreement that they wouldn't that they would kind of come in, like an international treaty is today. You know, okay, you know, if you get hit by the enemy, we'll come help you out, and but that's all there is to it. I mean, we don't give you any preferential status in anything else. And that's kind of the way the Articles of Confederation was, to put it in a short version. And that was sorely lacking. The federal government did need more powers, but the founders were adamant about the fact that that power needed to be very, very specific and very, very limited. And so they argued and discussed and debated for months what form this government should take. And the form of the government was going to be a three-branched government, three branches, each with a check and balance on the other. And within the most powerful branch, the legislative branch, the branch with the specific responsibility of making the laws necessary to carry out its specific powers under the Constitution, there were going to be two chambers, a bicameral. And one of those chambers was going to be elected specifically to represent the people of the various states, the people directly. It was the people would directly elect members to this house. And those members would represent, 10 to 20,000 people. Those members would have small constituencies. But there's a recognition now that this group of people, elected directly by the people, there was no qualification by the people of a small farming community that the person going up here be in any way educated on the principles of democratic republic, on the principles of the natural law and natural rights, God-given rights. They would just be a popular representative elected by the people and would sway back and forth with the will of the people. Now, the states envisioned that the federal government actually was going to be an extension of them. And so this second body, the Senate, was designed. And it was designed specifically to represent the best interest of the states. And each state legislature, now listen up, each state legislature, so for Missouri, the people in Jefferson City that you elect to go to Jefferson City, each state legislature could send two senators to Washington, D.C. And the job of those senators was to mitigate this ebb and flow of the will of the people, for example, and to represent the best interest of the state. So two people would be selected by our representatives in Jefferson City to go to Washington to represent the best interest of the state of Missouri. Now let's look at a real life situation as it occurred under the old method of doing things. For years and years and years, the northern states tried to get slavery outlawed. And I'm, you know, I'm not here to say slavery was a good thing. I'm here to say that the states of the North had different self-interest than the states of the South. And for years and years and years, they could not get this done. Because while the House of Representatives was hugely in favor of abolishing slavery, they could never get it through the Senate, which was equally represented by the southern states and the northern states, and had southern senators beholden to the state legislature, who had equal representation and who had as their mission the best interest of the state. In fact, had the southern states not seceded, giving up their position in Washington, D.C., giving up their positions in the Senate by seceding, no abolishment of slavery would ever have been passed by the United States Congress. Now, it would eventually have. I mean, its time was coming. The abolishment of slavery's time was coming, which is one of the reasons why the South seceded. I mean, they saw the writing on the wall. But they were able to fend this off for years, decades, a century, because the states had power in Washington. The states themselves then had a veto power. Anything could pass the House of Representatives. But then it had to go to this chamber where two people from each state got together and said, what is in the best interest of my state? I don't work for the people of the state of Massachusetts or the people of the state of Georgia. I work for the legislature. My constituency is small. My constituency is the legislature of the state of Missouri. Let's look at a more recent case. Let's look at Obamacare. We talk about Obamacare all the time. Now, the fact of the matter is that if Claire McCaskill and Roy Blunt could both sit in Washington, D.C., representing the state of Missouri, having been elected there by the legislature in Jefferson City rather than by the people of the state of Missouri, they would suddenly care a lot more about the fact that 70% of the people in the state of Missouri didn't want Obamacare. In fact, excuse me again, it is a better than 50-50 bet that if the Senate worked for the legislatures of the various states, there would not be an Affordable Health Care Act. Because the Affordable Health Care Act flies right in the face of what is in the best interest of any of the 50 states, and they know it. The 50 states know this. So what happened is, in 1914, there was a move to give the vote of the Senate, that is, the election of senators, directly to the people. Okay, now listen. When the Constitution was written, there were three different bodies. We're not counting the Supreme Court at all. But there were three different bodies. There was a Senate, there was a House of Representatives, and there was a president. The Senate was elected by the state. The House of Representatives were elected directly by the people. And the president was elected by an electoral college. So you had three different representations in Washington, D.C., all vying for power, if you would, Well, I mean, not if you would, but that's exactly the way it was. Frequently in opposition of one another, and each elected by a different constituency. You really had states' rights. You really had state representation. Missouri was represented in Washington, D.C. Georgia was represented in Washington, D.C. Washington State was represented in Washington, D.C. Not the people of Washington State. They were also represented in Washington, D.C. across the hall. But the state of Washington, the best interest of the state of Washington, was voiced directly in Washington, D.C. by people who were constituents of the legislature of the state of Washington. Now, it's not so that these people weren't somehow beholden to the people of the state of Washington or the people of the state of Missouri or the people of the state of Georgia. They were, in fact, the legislatures of the various states, the legislators of the various states, were the closest form of government to the people. And that in and of itself was the beauty of the United States Senate. Because my representative in Jefferson City, Eric Burleson, or my senator in Jefferson City, Bob Dixon, they represent very, very small constituencies. These people go to church with us. They go to the grocery store with us. They go out to eat with us. They do the same things that I do every day. They live in my district. They live my life. They are available to me. And so those people go to Jefferson City and elect my senator. So it wouldn't be right to assume that the senator is totally removed from me. He's not. But he's isolated from the fact that this year nobody thinks we should go to Syria, but last year everybody thought we should go to Iraq, and the year before that nobody thought we should go to Afghanistan. See how the public will swings back and forth. We're reeling now from a bad war. The chances are that if the prospect of Syria were something we'd ought to be doing, and it's not, but if it were something we'd ought to be doing, the prospect is unlikely that the will of the people would be behind that, because they're coming off of a bad experience. There's no one in Washington, D.C. now who is isolated, even insulated. I don't want to say isolate, insulated even one level from the passions of the people. So in 1914, they passed the 17th Amendment, and they gave election of the Senate directly to the people, exactly the way the House of Representatives were. There were reasons why they did this, and we're going to talk about those when we come back. And we're going to talk about how direct election didn't do anything to mitigate these evils that had come about, kind of, with the representative election of senators. But it's easy enough now to look and see that with the Senate and House the way it is, power quickly amassed to one central government. The states lost all input. The state of Missouri quickly became a puppet of the strengthening federal government, of the strengthening central government. And that's where we are today. That's how we got to where we are today. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about why they did this and how we'll keep some of the concerns that they had when they did this from rearing their ugly heads again when we go back to the way it should be. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. It's 347-677-1835, 347-677-1835.
They told me that you had gone totally insane, and that your methods were unsound.
Are my methods unsound?
I don't see any method at all.
Hey, free market capitalist Missouri business owners, show Missouri and the rest of the country what hardworking, successful entrepreneurship looks like by advertising your business on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Get your message out to liberty-loving citizens who want to support liberty-loving capitalists. Target this unique and widespread market with your business's unique and valuable products and services. Contact us at info@missourigrassrootscoalition.org for details.
If you, who make less than $250,000 a year, which includes 98% of small business owners, you will not see your taxes increase one single dime.
There's one for you, 19 for me. 'Cause I'm the tax man.
Hello. Hello, it's Dave, and I'm here to tell you that on Saturday nights at 7 o'clock, we talk about the Fair Tax on the Fair Tax Show. That Saturday night at 7 o'clock on Missouri Grassroots Radio, we explode the myths, we tell the truth, we get to the bottom of this tax code that ought to be the one to replace the IRS. Get involved. Okay, we're back. We're still talking about Article 5, and specifically tonight about the 17th Amendment and why we need to use Article 5 to fix that. I'm going to make a quick switch over here. We're having a little technical difficulty. Okay, I think we're back now. Now I know we're back. Okay, we are back now. Had a little technical difficulty during the commercial there. We're talking tonight about Article 5, as we do every Monday night. We're talking about, specifically tonight, about... excuse me, I've got a little allergy situation going here in my throat, talking specifically about the 17th Amendment. It came about in 1914 and how it absolutely destroyed states' rights. What had happened is a couple of things. Over the course of the period from the founding, about a century later to a little more than a century later to 1914, some level of corruption had set in to where a person who wanted to be a senator could actually bribe or buy the state legislature into sending him up there. In those days. And so it was imagined that the answer to this was giving the people a direct say in who their senator would be. Also, remember that we're talking about a time when the political machines, you remember the Pendergrass machine, in Illinois, the Daily machine, in New York, the Tammany Hall machine, they were rising in power. And so there was a point where basically some United States senators were being just directly chosen by these machines. And it was imagined that giving the Senate to the people would somehow rectify this. And of course we know it didn't. It may have been good thinking at the time. They may have been grasping for straws, or they may have been in a hurry to eliminate some of this practice and been a little bit wrong-minded about how to go about doing it. But as we know, today, after having given away states' rights to do away with this problem, we have an even more corrupt system. We have senators who are being bought and paid for by lobbyists who wield huge amounts of money in your home state to get that senator reelected or even unelected, should that senator have the gall to not go along with what the special interests want. There are certainly ways that you could individually prosecute corruption at the state legislative level. I mean, either criminally or electorally. But you can expect that there's going to be a huge fight from the lobbyists to get 17 repealed. And that's why we talk about repeal of 17 in a show that we've dedicated to Article 5 of the Constitution. Article 5 of the Constitution, remember, says that when two-thirds of the states tell the Congress of the United States to convene a convention of state delegates to propose amendments to the Constitution, that the Congress must do so. Each state would send delegates, and they would propose amendments. This is the only way you are going to get the state legislatures back in a position to appoint senators to the Senate. You are not going to repeal the 17th Amendment through a proposed amendment in the United States Senate. You're asking the Senate to give up the power that they've spent an entire century and a half amassing to themselves. You're not going to get any support from any kind of moneyed interests, because that would fly right in the face of, can you imagine for 1 minute the nightmare for lobbyists who had to, well, they would have to buy at least 26 state legislatures to get the senators that they wanted to Washington, D.C. Now, would it change anything? Well, that remains to be seen. Can you imagine for a moment, if you live in Missouri, and if you don't, substitute the name of your two senators. Can you imagine that Roy Blunt would be sent to Washington, D.C. by the current legislators of the state of Missouri? I can't. As progressive as our so-called Republican legislature is, as mealy-mouthed and spineless as they are, and you're about to see how spineless that is coming up this veto session this week, I don't see them selecting Roy Blunt to represent the best interest of the state of Missouri. Certainly not more than once. And I don't see them selecting Claire McCaskill to represent the best interests of the state of Missouri even once. Do you? Seriously? I mean, the state legislature of the state of Missouri, Just to put an acid test out there, and 70% of the people of the state of Missouri have said no over and over and over again to Obamacare. And Roy Blunt comes out in favor of Obamacare in the United States Senate, and Claire McCaskill comes out in favor of Obamacare in the United States Senate. Can you see either one of them keeping their job if their appointment depended on the legislature of the state of Missouri? They are acting directly against the interest of the state of Missouri. Time and time and time again they do that. They do that with the Patriot Act. They do that with the National Defense Authorization Act. They do that with the Internet Sales Tax Act. They do that over and over and over and over again. Your senators work against the best interest of the state of Missouri without a care what you say or what you think. Can you see either one of them keeping their jobs if they worked for the legislature of the state of Missouri? I can't. But the first step to fixing that, and Lord, people, we are talking about a long, hard road. This is a revolution. I mean, we are talking about a revolution, not a revolution with guns, but not a revolution at the ballot box. That ain't going to happen. We are talking about a constitutional revolution. We are talking about using the Constitution to fix the problem. Article 5 of the Constitution. Now, what's the first step? We talk about, and we're going to end every session talking about what the first step is. The first step is you, the listener, right now, sit down, write an email or a snail mail to the representatives and the senators in Jefferson City. They'll get it. I know they're not in session right now. Well, in fact, they are, but they're not in a real session. I understand that, but they'll get it anyway. They'll get the mail. The mail still runs. The messages still get through. The legislative assistants are still at work. send an email, spend a, will you invest a Saturday afternoon in writing an email to every representative and senator in Jefferson City saying, we demand an Article 5 convention. We're only one of two-thirds of the states that have to do this. But Missouri can lead the way. We've led the way before in several other things. Missouri is a bellwether state, and we can lead the way in this. We can lead the way in saying through our legislature, we want it fixed. Will you do it? Will you sit down and will you write those emails? Every legislator in Jefferson City, you're not going to get an answer back from anyone but your legislator. And that's only right. I mean, it's only right that legislators should only have to answer to their own constituents. But the numbers matter, too. The numbers matter. Do it. Every one of them. We want an Article 5 convention to propose amendments to the Constitution of the United States. List some specific amendments that you want. We're going to talk about more and more as the weeks go on here that need to be done. Repealing 17 is of paramount importance. The state's repeal amendment that we talked with Lloyd about a couple of weeks ago is of paramount importance. There are several of paramount importance and some that you might want to talk about. Don't be afraid of this. Liberals, you know, if you want some gun rules, bring them. Bring them on, you know. If you want some gun rules, you've got to do one thing, and that's amend the Constitution of the United States. You can't have them otherwise. What are conservatives so scared about when it comes to this convention to propose amendments to the Constitution of the United States? What in the world is to be afraid of here? Monday nights, along comes the hour of truth. That's us. That's this. Missouri Grassroots Radio's Hour of Truth, and right now we are in the middle of the Article 5 series. We're going to stay with this until Missouri gets on the ball and makes this demand. Tuesday nights, Cynthia Davis comes along. What a great show. She's on at 7 o'clock on Tuesday nights with Homefront. Wednesday night, Lisa Payne Nager comes along with the Culture Vigilante. Beginning next week, I believe, not this week, but next week, we're going to have something new on Thursday nights. It's going to be fun. It's going to be controversial. It's going to be titillating. And then on Saturday nights, I come back. You get another 2 hours of me with the Fair Tax Show, where we talk about the fair tax. Now, you know, the beauty of one of these shows, of my show anyway, I don't know about Cynthia and Lisa and how they do it, but the beauty of my show is that I don't use a call screener. If this board lights up, I'm going to take your call. I'm not scared of you. And you'll notice that if you listen to last week's Fair Tax Show, we spent the entire 2 hours in listening to the rantings of some flat taxers, a couple of them, and we're going to and we let them go. I'm going to tell you right now, I came to that show unprepared for a debate. I listened to them. I took good notes. We're going to spend the first hour of Saturday's show recalling some of the things that were said and debunking them. And also tipping our hat to some ways that a flat tax would be just as good and never better than the fair tax, but just as good in some aspects as the fair tax. The problem with a flat tax is the key issue that the fair tax fixes, and that is the fair tax eliminates the evil of taxing your hard work. Income should not be taxed. The flat tax continues to tax income. We'll talk about that this Saturday night, and then we'll carry on with where we should be going with the Fair Tax Show. Don't forget about the Secret Santa. Don't forget to check us out at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. Don't forget to bring your group along to that page where hundreds and hundreds of Missouri Tea Party groups, and I use the word Tea Party to include 9/11 groups, gun right groups, property right groups, Tea Party groups. It's a collective of liberty lovers. Go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and check that out. Join us on Facebook at Missouri Grassroots Coalition. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come right back and wrap up for the night. It's 347-677-1835. Give us a call if you want to get in on tonight's show. We'll be glad to talk about anything that has anything to do with Article 5 of the United States Constitution, pro or con. I said I don't use a call screener, so I'm not expecting that the first thing you say when you come on the air is, "Dave, you're a great American." That's what call screeners are for. They're to make sure that only the callers get through who are going to tell me I'm a great American. I'm not looking for that. If you've got something you want to say about Article 5 of the United States Constitution, give us a call and have your say. We'll be right back. I've got a feeling that
so dear, for peace so sweet, as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
Have you joined Missouri Grassroots Coalition yet? The results of the 2012 election proved that the grassroots conservatives need to work harder to make their voices heard in government. The best way for Missouri conservatives to make their voices heard is to join together within the Missouri Grassroots Coalition Network and show our elected that we are a strong, unified, conservative voice in Missouri. Go to the website, MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, and click on the Join tab. Give us your contact information so that we can keep you updated on the latest developments in Jefferson City and beyond. Also, sign up for grass fire alerts so that you can get immediate notifications when we need to call grassroots conservatives together in action. Use the MGC network to help your grassroots organization speak with a louder voice combined with grassroots groups across the state. Together, we can strengthen the conservative voice in Missouri.
We have never invested as much in public education as we should have, because we've always had kind of a private notion of children. Your kid is yours and totally your responsibility. We haven't had a very collective notion of these are our children. So part of it is we have to break through our kind of private idea that kids belong to their parents or kids belong to their families and recognize that kids belong to whole communities. Once it's everybody's responsibility.
You talk if you haven't got a brain.
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
We've got to break through this notion that parents belong to their children, or that children belong to their parents. We've got to break through that notion, and we've got to grasp onto this notion that your kid belongs to us, that we can educate your kid better than you, that we can instill values in your kid better than you. Some people talk that don't have any brains. Some people that don't have any brains do an awful lot of talking. So in recap tonight, we talked about Article 5. We talked about how it came about. We talked about the beauty of Article 5 and what it is. We talked about the 17th Amendment to the United States Constitution and how it had been the biggest move in American history in stripping states of their rights, of reversing the role of the federal government and the state governments. We talked about why Article 5 is the only way we can fix the 17th Amendment. Because now that the legislature has amassed all this power to itself, it's not going to give back that power. We've talked about what you need to do starting tonight, starting as soon as this show is over, starting immediately to get this Article 5 ball rolling. We've put it out there for you. It really is all that simple. It's all you need to do to get the ball rolling. All you need to do to get the ball rolling is write some emails. That's all we're looking for right now. Get the ball rolling. We'll worry about how to push the ball farther up the hill once we get it rolling. But we've got to get the ball rolling. And the way to get the ball rolling is for you to directly communicate to the legislators of the state of Missouri that the state of Missouri needs to call for an Article 5 Amendment Convention. Thanks, Missouri Grassroots Coalition, for this time. Thank you for dialing in the Hour of Truth on Monday nights at 7 o'clock. I'm Dave. Good night.
God bless America.
Missouri Grassroots Radio is brought to you by the Missouri Grassroots Coalition, a cooperative of independent Missouri groups whose aim is to restore constitutional government. Visit us at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. Check out our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter. You can contact us anytime at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. God bless and keep you till next time we meet.